Like to say, I'm thankful to be here tonight. Thankful for all you that sacrificed your time to come to the house of the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures, I say it all the time, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of the Lord, because it's still after over 23 years, it's still my favorite place to go. Has been ever since I got saved by the grace of God. I used to say, we was talking, Brother Mike and I was up praying a little bit there before church, and I used to say, I want to take one of them blankets with me. He said, go ahead. But anyway, something to remember by. For some reason, I need that blanket. Maybe I'll put it on somebody one day. I don't know. But anyway, we was up praying, and I said, I used to think about many times I'd be like, get done with a good spiritual service. Let's just take a nap and start over again. You know what I'm saying? I like being in the house of the Lord. I like being around God's people. Matter of fact, it's a place that I love. The Bible talks about us being in one heart, one mind, one body, and one accord. It should be our favorite place to come. It should be the house of God, to hear the word of God, to see people hopefully get saved by the grace of God. We should be inviting them and compelling them to come, that they might come in and hear what they need to hear. That seeds might be planted. You know, McCamey sang that song, there's got to be a seed placed in the ground, watered by the Spirit while it's laying round, and it will grow in the fertile soil of your heart. One day it will be standing tall. No strong wind will make it fall. One planted a seed, one watered. God made it grow. You know, the Bible says that Paul planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. You know, it's very important that we plant and water today. As you can see, the house of God is not very full tonight. If you're expecting them to come down here just to off the street, it's not going to happen anymore, okay? We're going to have to start taking a little different approach. When the Bible says, go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come, I think that's probably what the scripture meant. I do believe that the original 12 there, God took 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and he changed the known world, you see. He can still do that today, but it's going to take people that have a focus. I'm not so much on a vacation or what they got or what people think about them or what they're doing. He needs dedicated warriors to be raised up, people that have a desire for the spiritual things of God, that want to put him first, that really don't care what a world around them thinks. I'm going to tell you, that's what I think about tonight. I'm really not worried about what other folk think about me. I'm going to answer to Jesus Christ one day. I'm going to answer to the author and finisher of my faith, the one that wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that gave me a peace, love, and joy, that passes all understanding. I'm going to answer to him, see, my friend. And I've been listening to a song called Dying Star. If you're a preacher or anybody that thinks you're close to the Lord, you should listen to that song. Talks about you're just like your enemy, you're full of pride. You know people can be prideful? Do you know you can be prideful tonight just in who you are or who you think you are? I'm going to tell you, when a man's nothing and he thinks he's something, he's full of his own self. You can be prideful just because you know the truth. Huh? And say, my, why? Wonder why that man don't know. Well, people perish for lack of knowledge. I just came from an area of the country where there ain't a lot of truth up there. They don't know much about anything. You don't have to go to Africa or Jamaica or Guatemala or something to find people that don't know nothing about the truth. You can look at your neighbor right here in Bowling Green, Kentucky. There's a plenty of them. If you want to take time out of your day to minister to them. So it's very important. I believe with all my heart, if we see revival come in this country, I believe it's going to come from the street. You say, well, preacher, you crazy. No, I'm not. I'm praying God raise up some people. Because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of hurting people in them streets. Some of you may have some drug addicts or alcoholics or people that's in these rehabs and stuff, but I'm telling you, they're popping up like everywhere. They're popping up like the little marijuana shacks up there on the Indian reservation. They're popping up everywhere. You don't have to look too far to find them. People that are in trouble. But you know what the sad part about that is? Brother Stowe, that was somebody's son or daughter, wasn't it? Huh? Wasn't for the grace of God, there go I. You look around and you think, man, that little girl said, I'm going to be a nurse one day. That little boy said, I'll be a fireman. Yeah. See, the old devil, he takes people further than they want to go. He keeps them longer than they want to stay. Costs them more than they want to pay. You're of a blessed people down here. A lot of you was growed up in missionary Baptist people. Your daddies and mommies were saved. Your grandma and grandpas were saved. Maybe you never experienced the troubles in the world. But I'll tell you, there's a whole society in this nation that's experiencing it, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better until the time of the end. Man's knowledge will increase, and he'll go to and fro. A little over 100 years ago, we was riding horses and buggies. Now about everything I do, you can do with that phone right there, your job and everything else. It's a different time, folks. It's a different time. The gospel message doesn't change. But the avenues that we get have to change. I want to sing a song, maybe. You know, I always wish I could preach the, you know, like the Joel Osteen messages, you know, the feel-good stuff. But there's nothing I see around that makes me feel very good. Really nothing. There's nothing I see out there. My heart stays troubled. I stay in tears crying over these people that are lost and dying and separated from God. Right here in my own country. They're all around us, folks. We're living in a different day. I've heard some modern preachers say, you just can't sing or preach anymore the way they did before. But it was old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned preaching that got my attention and got me to thinking about the way I was living and where I would be if the cold hand of death laid hold on me. The Holy Spirit used it, drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it, and that's how I got saved. It's not education nor organization, but faith come by hearing God's holy word. It's not about the style or the methods we choose. It's all about Christ and the truth. And it was old-fashioned singing and old-fashioned preaching that got my attention and got me to thinking about the way I was living and where I would be if the cold hand of death laid hold on me. The Holy Spirit used it, drew me to Calvary and showed me how Jesus died in my place. With my heart I believed it, by faith I received it, and that's how I got saved. And you know, we preach to people, you know, repentance and faith. They're inseparable graces. I don't know if God gives you the ability to repent and adds faith to it, or gives you the faith to repent, but they're inseparable. And you got to add some contrition in there. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but earthly sorrow worketh death. There's some scriptures that we really need to know as old-time Baptist people. We need to know the scriptures. It's important, right? Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, right? Dividing the word of God, the word of truth. The preacher needs to know and understand the Bible, but every one of God's people need to know and understand the word of God. It's important. Because the Bible says his word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. I'm telling you, friends, it's a dark world out there. It's going to get darker all the time. So we need to be prepared. God's got to work for every one of us. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, maybe. You know, everybody has gifts and talents. And you know, a lot of times, there's a lot of folks out there, Brother Case, that just don't understand what another man's doing. But as long as God understands what you're doing, you need to keep doing what you're doing. You understand? God understands. He knows. He knows what needs to happen, when it needs to happen. But sometimes people become religious. They become justified in their own mind. They become very comfortable. Just come to the house of God and they give a little bit of money and they show up on Sunday morning and they show up on Sunday night and Wednesday night and they think they done God a favor. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor in life. If you ain't down crying out for somebody, you need to pray that God gets your heart in that condition. You need to pray for that. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Bible says no servant's above his master. Serious times we're living in. The Bible says hell's enlarged every day. People dying and on their way there. I'm sad about that. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You know, God can't fail. I like this song Lewis and Lewis sang. I've been trying to learn some new ones. And I love to sing. You know, you can always tell when my heart's in tune with the Lord because I sing. Merry heart's good medicine.
out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see? Remember, David, he danced till his outer garments came off. Sometimes I get to skipping around a little bit myself. The Lord will put a joy in your heart, a praise on your lips, a grin on your face if you let him. But you have to let the Spirit. The natural man receiveth not the spiritual things of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritual discerned. And even though you've been saved, you can let that natural man start taking over. Like the old native said, which dog are you feeding, the white dog or the black dog? I was up with a minister to a woman the other day. She had anxiety after crazy. She was just going crazy. I said, ma'am, how much time are you spending with the Lord every day? Well, I do a devotional.
Yay.
A devotional? I got there, I couldn't get the TV turned down, hardly to talk. I said, listen to Dr. Phil, I got your antidote. Shut that TV off and spend you a couple, 3 hours with the Lord. You're home every day. Huh? You're home every day. That word right there, I tell you, out of it flow the issues of life. There's nothing new under the sun. I tell you, just the way the saints of old have followed the word of God and they had victories in the spiritual realm, you can have them today. God's no respecter of persons. But you got to spend time with it. It takes time to serve the Lord. It takes time. Get up out of the bed. Do what you need to do. Whatever you need to do to spend time with God. I think the prophets knew something, Brother Moran, when they'd raise early in the morning. They'd rise early. And they'd seek the Lord before the cares of the world got on them. Before they was thinking about the Walmart store. Before they was thinking about that bill that they couldn't hardly pay. They got up and sought God for his direction and favor. Things haven't changed. Just we're so comfortable today. We have so much. Everybody has so much. Everybody's pretty comfortable, right? I was thinking the other day, how back like out home, there wasn't no wind. All the windows was up. When revival came around, the windows up. People was drinking beer on the car hoods, brother. We got the gospel shut up inside four walls. Everybody's got to be comfortable. The Lord wants to take you out of your comfort zone, friend. Believe me. I know a little bit about it, not much, but a little bit. We all just scratch the surface of the deep riches of God, Brother K. That's what you do. You just scratch it. The more you learn about, the more you truly learn about the Lord, the less you'll realize you know. The closer you get to God, the further away from him you'll realize you are. That's the way it works. When your heart's really seeking God, there's no room for a puffed up man or a woman. There's no room for that in the service of the Lord. Remember we said earlier, by humility and fear of the Lord are true riches and honor and life. Sometimes trying to get yourself humble is like picking yourself up by your own shoelaces, isn't it? Huh? Pretty tough, isn't it? Because man wants to think he's something. But it's very, very important that we seek God because he's the only one that can get you to that point. Because you got a twofold being here you're messing with. There's part of you that all it knows is sin. And there's a part, that earnest of the Spirit, that the Lord Jesus Christ gave you. If you've been born again of his Spirit, there's an earnest in there. There's a little down payment. I say it's like a quarter to $1 billion. The Bible says these things down here will seem as light afflictions. Anything you could go through, heartache, pain, trouble, sorrow, death, all the things down here is going to seem as a light affliction when the glory of God is revealed in his people. Isn't that something? I'm glad I'm not from here. I'm not from here. And I can hardly wait to get there. Oh, you hear people say all the time, well, brother, I'm not looking to cross over. I say, that's the dumbest statement you'll ever make. When you get there, you'll be like, what in the world was I talking about? That's what you'll say. What was I thinking? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. Remember like that movie my son wanted me to watch that time where they were going crazy over that stone, the Lord of the Rings, precious. Everybody wanted it. That's what the world's grabbing at, that precious. But the real precious pearl is up in heaven. He came with a kingdom made without hands. He gave us an earnest of the Spirit that if we'd follow him, we could have all that we need in Christ Jesus. He said he'll supply all your need according to his riches and glory. How about Christ Jesus? He'll give you exactly what you need to further his kingdom. Not about what you want. That boat you want to buy that Saturday night might keep you away from your Sunday morning. Think about it. A lot of people, Saturday nights keep them away from their Sunday mornings. A lot of things that people desire in this world keeps them away from God. The more junk you got, the harder it's going to be to serve God. When you serve the Lord in spirit and truth, it's a simple life, my friend, and people will think you're simple. But I'm going to tell you, there's joy in going this way. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not very many people have that joy anymore. You notice that? You can't even hardly get them to praise God in church, let alone outside the four walls, telling the truth. I remember Sister Glenda, I miss her. When I first met her a few years back, Brother Jackie Wakefield's wife, we'd get to praying and talking. I remember one time we got to shouting. I said, "Where you at, Sister Glenda?" She said, "I'm in the Walmart store." She didn't care. She loved Jesus. I got people that won't even put a magnet on their car that says Jesus heals the brokenhearted. They worried about that paint job. Brother Don, they're worried about that car, that Cadillac, that paint job. It's a car. Get you from point A to point B. Lift up the name of Jesus that all men might be drawn unto him. We need to think about things, folks. We're living in a different day. Living in a different day. I come down last night. I said, "Oh, my goodness." Had a long journey. Took about a three-hour nap there just south of Cincinnati. I was coming from the Indian Reservation or south of Columbus. And I thought, "Oh, my goodness, what am I going to preach? I got to try to stand before my brothers and sisters." You know, a tent revival is pretty easy for me to preach in. I'm pretty comfortable there. I just like in the street where most people are, say, out of their comfort zone, that's where I thrive. That's where my realm. That's where my gift and talent is. And everybody has them. Everybody has a gift and a talent. Each and every one of you were knit together in your mother's womb with a plan and a purpose for your life. You all have gifts and talents. That's what the body of Christ is about. That's exactly what the body of Christ is about. But yet you see a few people doing everything. We're kind of crippled, aren't we, sometimes? We're walking around, man. We've had a stroke. We got cancer running through us. Because I'm going to tell you, people don't want to stand up and do what they need to do for God. I'm still trying to get a preacher to go up home for this weekend. Hey, I should be able to get on the phone and find a preacher like that. There ain't none of them up home. People perish for lack of knowledge. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I was talking to a brother up north, their longhouse. They say they worship creator, but really it's creation. See, God says, "Put no other gods before me." It doesn't matter where you're worshiping, a cow, a goat, a pig, a beaver, a bear. Your job, your money, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The root. Doesn't matter what you're worshiping, it becomes an idol. And when you put anything in your life, it could be your kid, your husband, your wife, whatever. Anything you put before God, it becomes an idol. And God's not pleased. He's really not. He wants our undivided attention. You know, I remember one time, had a friend of mine, Brother Paul, I believe he got saved, but he told me one time, he said, I was preaching on the radio up home years ago. He said, "Would you do a sermon for my kids?" And it was easy for me, for him. God gave me the title just like that. Our actions are speaking so loud that our children can't hear what we're saying. I'm going to say it again. Our actions are speaking so loud that our children can't hear what we're saying. One more time. Our actions are speaking so loud that our children can't hear what we're saying. Next thing you know, that vacation, that's the most important thing. Revival can be going on. We got to take that. You got to have that vacation. Boy, you deserve it. You deserve that vacation. No, Jesus gave us a free right to come to his house to try to carry our people here, to try to get people saved by the grace of God. That's the duty of the church. When the church is functioning, I'm going to tell you, she should be a well-oiled machine. The church door should never shut down if God had his way. You believe that? You say, "Boy, you're stretching it." No, I'm telling you the truth. Huh? I came here the one day, I come back a while back. I asked Brother Mike, I said, "How many people members in this church?" He said, "About 350. I said, "What? There might have been 100 here. Come on, man. What he said, if my people are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'd hear from heaven, heal their land, and forgive their sin. Shut the TV off. Fox News ain't going to do it for you. It ain't going to be the White House or the courthouse ever change anything. It's going to be the church house, and God's people got to get right. Period. Don't blame everybody. Look in the mirror. Remember Michael Jackson wrote that song, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I changed the song a little bit. I'm praying he could change his way. Look at that man in the mirror. Get him to change. Then you'll affect people around you. They might see Christ in us, the hope of glory. I've got to save that for later. Brother Ivan. I miss Brother Ivan. But I remember one of the best sermons I ever heard him preach. Guess what the title was? I don't remember much because I'm ADD. You can probably tell I'm preaching. I'm all over the place. But God will give me, I'm going to tell you, if you'll listen tonight, if you'll listen to me, because I do the work of an evangelist, there is such a thing, God will give you exactly what you need to hear if you listen. But see, the truth, it has a profound effect. See, the Word of God, carried by the Spirit of God, has a profound effect on the heart of man. And the more truth you know about, you got to know about it, then you got to understand it in your heart, the freer you'll become. Do you get it? You got to know about it. You're at a place where they're preaching the truth, but you got to understand it in your heart. Then it's a tough one. Then you got to follow it. Then you got to take up your cross and follow him. Then you got to die daily, as Paul said. What was he talking about? How did the Lord use that guy to raise so many? He died out to the things of this world daily. Wasn't on his mind. But yeah, I remember Brother Ivan preached that sermon. He said, get rid of your stuff and serve the Lord. It's the only sermon I could ever remember him ever preaching. I love Brother Ivan. He's a good man. But yeah. You know, we're trying to get people stirred up. The Bible says the Lord's long-suffering toward us. I had somebody ask me that question there yesterday. He said, why do you think these evil people, what they call evil, well, I know I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm like the apostle. I feel like I'm the chiefest of sinners most days because I'm not very good. I don't know how you feel about yourself, but I don't really like myself too well, brother. I don't. I let the Lord down too much to be too much like myself. See, you'll do that. You'll do that. If you really have a desire to serve him, you'll let him down many times. But they said, wonder why these people live so long and then some like Zach. Who I miss all the time. Every time I come down here, I miss Zach. Seemed like he was, sometimes the Lord takes a good one. At least the Bible. But I said, you know what? The Bible says the Lord's long-suffering toward us for that none should perish. He gives people chance after chance after chance because he don't want nobody to die. The Bible says the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So he gives them time and time, opportunity and opportunity to come to him, hoping and praying that his children might be out there planting and watering. How the Bible says the harvest is plentiful, but the workers is few. Pray the Lord of the harvest would raise up harvesters for the harvest. You know, my wife told me one time years ago, she said, you never go to a nursing home. I said, why not? Bumper cars, man. I get them in a corner. I got them. They can't get away. Captive audience. Huh? Butt them up in a corner. It's on. Where are they going to go? I like them captive audiences, don't you? I like the people that can't get away from. I was up there witnessing a guy in a tent up there in New York, and he was trying to get away. I said, don't you go. You stay right here. I don't want you to have an excuse when the Lord comes in his glory and you rejected his gospel because you're hearing it today. You ain't going to have an excuse. I don't want you to have an excuse. I want you to hear the gospel about how the Lord wants to save you, that drawing, convicting power. What happened? That emptiness down in your heart. And you know something else? I'm going to share with you. I've been sharing this everywhere. You know, in this country, people say, boy, you just can't find nobody to talk to about the Lord anymore. I don't have that problem. I don't have enough time in the day to talk to them all. So what are you talking about? Well, in 2020, while everybody was afraid to death to die, I watched God's people, and don't get me wrong, if you was one of them, that's okay. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? I'm just telling you. It has no bearing on us. I told someone the other day, someone said, ain't you afraid? There could be someone standing with an AK-47 right there firing at me. If God don't want me to get hit, but guess what? I won't get touched. Do you believe that? Huh? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was down in the fiery furnace. They came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. Preached it many times. But yet we act out of fear. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Those who fear have not been made perfect in love. Is that love of God shed abroad in your heart? To where other people and their circumstances mean more to yourself than your very own? Are you really concerned about them? Questions we need to ask ourselves, isn't it? It's important. I want to talk a little bit about unity in the church. People having a job. You know, those people of old, a lot of martyring going on, a lot of crazy stuff. I look at the natives where we're at right now. For them to be baptized in our church, they denounced everything that they ever believed. Their forefathers, what they taught, just like Catholicism, whatever you come out of. How blessed are we tonight? Huh? I remember talking to Brother Jack one time. He told me he was a full-grown man, pretty near before he ever realized there was anything but a missionary Baptist church. I didn't know what a missionary Baptist church was. I didn't know what you fellas was. Lord took me all the way from Southeast and the High and brought me down here. Brother Phil kept begging me to come. But I got down here and found out I was a little bit different than most folks. And I still am. I come from the other side of the tracks. I come from the land of dysfunction. How do you get function out of dysfunction? You don't. But God can use anybody, anywhere, anytime. But people need to understand what you're about. I'm about the same thing you're about. I'm just a little different. Just come from the other side of the tracks. It's like the Lord showed me right after I got saved. You know why people are prejudiced? They're afraid of what they don't understand. People are afraid. Man's a fearful creature by nature. Always remember that. That's where anxiety, oppression, depression, people get fearful. The Lord told me, hey, don't fear the outcome and don't doubt what I can do. All things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. Though none go with me, the Lord stood with me. The Lord will always stand with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If nobody in the world don't understand, if you follow God, you're headed the right way. You can believe that. You can believe that. See, that's what I always say. I wish sometimes, because it makes me cry. You have to preach hard. People that you love. You almost feel like you're scolding your kid or something. You know that? That's what it feels like sometimes. But it has to be done. It has to be done. People won't change. When they get comfortable, if you preach soft things and you preach things that are easy to take in, people won't change. They'll just keep right on going down the same road. It takes something dramatic. The older we get, the more hard-headed we get. I know I do. Seems to be the way it works with me. I want to look in Romans 12th chapter. Read some scriptures. Try to. You know, I always love about the Lord. I never really know too much where I'm going to preach at before, like right before sometimes. I like those kinds. It's almost like, you know when the Bible says that a prophet's without honor in his hometown? Did you know that? Most people quit because they can't get to their brother or sister or aunt or uncle. They just quit witnessing. Well, Jesus came to his own received him not. You know what the moral of the story is that? I'll challenge anybody with it. You know what the moral of that story is? If you can go follow the Lord, forsake what's back here, not forsake it, but leave that, Leave that in the Lord's hand. Quit trying so hard to change something you can't change. And give it to God. There's a million and one people out there that want to talk to you. Your story will affect them. But you've got to get out of your comfort zone and step out with the Lord. You got to step out of the boat as this kind of like Peter did. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, that's where it seems like that's easy for you. Well, it is. So I'm trying to share. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron, a man sharpens his friend's countenance. I'm trying to let you know that it's possible. How do I know? Because I do it. Okay? That's what I'm trying to let you know. It's possible. And it's available. But see, Brother Phil told me one time when I first got saved, he said, you know, most people want just enough of the Lord. I want you to think about this one real hard. Never forgot it after all these. Most people want just enough of the Lord that the Lord doesn't bother them. Think about that one. You know when you really press in? You know when you're really seeking God and get God's always giving you something to do, ain't he? It never stops. You'll find yourself wanting to study more. You'll find yourself wanting to pray more. You'll find yourself singing more. You'll find yourself witnessing more when you get close to God. Because those attributes of God, it comes alive in you. The things of the world don't mean nothing anymore. Remember I told you earlier? It's a simple walk. When you walk with the Lord in spirit and truth, people think you're simple. I've had a lot of people think I'm simple. I say when the Lord comes in his glory, we'll find out, brother, who was simple and who wasn't. Huh? They tell me I'm nuts. I tell them I'm screwed onto the right boat, brother. I'm just telling you, the anchor holds. They say I'm crazy. I've been crazy about the Lord for, a little over 23 years now. I ain't changed much. I've had some heartache, pain, trouble, sorrow. I've been through the fire and through the flood. The Lord didn't say he would give you a fire retardant suit. Didn't say you wouldn't blow some bubbles along the way, but he said he'd take you through. And what you got to learn to realize in life that whatever you go through is to help somebody else get through, because nothing's about you. Nothing down here is about you. It's all about Christ and the truth, just like that song said. It's all about Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by him. We're just vessels that the Almighty God uses. But remember he said, if we don't praise him, he can raise up stones. Hey, look, people, you might say, boy, you sound like you're dumber than a box of rocks, but I ain't going to let a rock take my place. See, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to praise the Lord. Bible says the trees of the field will clap their hands. Do you get it? The heaven and the earth declare his glory. Why shouldn't we as creation? He breathed the breath of life into our nostrils. My goodness, he's responsible for the reason you're sitting here. Anything you got, if you got a fine home, a fine car, a wonderful kids, if you got food in your refrigerator, you need to start thanking God for everything. There's people that don't. And I deal with them on a daily basis. And I don't have to go anywhere to get to them. Yeah. So, chapter 12, Romans. You said, oh my goodness, we're going to be here all night. Well, I don't know. I don't know how far we'll go. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So whatever we do in life, all should be to the glory of God. I think of that song, there's a roof up above me, I have a good place to sleep, there's food on my table, shoes on my feet, no ribs showing here. Fairly healthy for 60 years old. Had a daddy that died at 21, a colon cancer. He's the one prayed I'd be a preacher one day. I was out to the graveyard the other day. That's what's on Daddy Prayed. That's what that song's about. The first one we ever wrote. And I said, you know what? I thought about that. I said, I don't care. I ain't going to be beside nobody but my daddy. He prayed I'd be a preacher one day. I ain't much, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I want to be beside him just for a minute. And then I'll be going anyway. You know, my old body's just going to lay there and rot. But I want to lay on my coffin right beside my dad. I don't care who else is there. I don't care. Woman, kid, I'm going to be buried with my son. My daddy prayed I'd be a preacher one day, and it came true. James said the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Did you know that? And he was a man like another you and I. He prayed for 3.5 years that it wasn't right. It didn't. One man. One man that was close to God. I can tell you a story. One time, them guys were down there trying to get a car in Guatemala. I'll just tell you a quick one. I just laid my hands on it. I said, let's lay our hands on that car. Started. He said, what are you talking about, boy? The faith of a grain of a mustard seed, you can tell that mountain, be thou removed, and it'll be cast in the sea. What are you talking about, boy? I'm talking about if God wants something done, it'll get done. It might be outside your mechanical realm. It might be outside of your thoughts, but as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's ways above our ways and his thoughts above our thoughts. And you'll never convince me any different. God does what he wants with man. He don't change. Yeah, I remember those guys. They was down there trying to turn on wrenches. I don't know nothing about a wrench. I said, I'm just going to lay my hands. Y'all have seen some of them's faces. I said, I'm just going to lay my hands on that thing and it's going to start. And it did. You say, you sound crazy. I'm a little crazy, all right. I'm just crazy enough to do what the Lord tells me to do. Are you that crazy? Huh? To step out, get out of the boat? That's what Peter did, didn't he? He got out of the boat. But wait a minute. As soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, what did he do? Started sinking, didn't he? God will let you get out of the boat for a minute, but as soon as you start taking your eyes off of him, the author and finish your faith, you start sinking again. And it says, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Remember? Transformers, robots in disguise. Remember that? The kids liked that Transformers, didn't they? Took something that didn't look like much. Turned it into a killing machine. What God does. You know, God is love. The Bible says God is love. He is love. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful God's love. He's also a God of war. He's a God of wrath. He's a God that's going to bring, you know, that sin, wrath, and the judgment's come. It's going to come upon people. He's a God of war, and guess what? He don't lose. He's better than being in Mike Tyson's corner. He don't lose. And if you stay on his side, you're a winner either way, just like Cousin Irv saying, if I go or if I stay, I've already won. He fought the battle and I won. Oh my goodness. You know, sometimes I think I've done this for years, ever since I first got saved. I was like, man, if I could get the people to just get it, what I have in my heart. But you know how when you study, you're like, man, I wish I could get everything out that God's put in, right? Sometimes I wish, I said, man, I wish I could just, you know, grab them, shake them. Say, look, man, do you see what I'm saying? Do you understand? It's real. God's no respecter of person. We're of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He don't change. He can use you in a great way. But remember, you can have as much or as little of the Lord as you want. Some people prefer little. You know why? Because you take that little piano player, she comes up, she starts playing a little bit, or this boy, he starts singing a little bit. It only takes one bad comment from somebody that ain't too close to the Lord in the church. They'll never come back and play again. You know that? Accomplished something, didn't he? Devil accomplished something that day. Sure did. It only takes one bad experience. And then people say, well, I don't know what was wrong with them. Well, they wasn't treated right. That's what was wrong with them. They wasn't treated the way they needed to be treated. They'll never come back to church because they got hurt. We got a lot of things to think about, really. Me, myself, the people that I know around, when I get back around home, I know if there was 100 people, let's see, I went to Warren High School and I wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. So if there's 350 people, that means there's 250 people still out there somewhere. Anybody going after them? A lot of retired people maybe here. Are you seeking after those people? Calling and trying to get a hold of them and contact and say, hey, we love you, man. We've been praying for you down at the church. We've been thinking about you. Anybody reaching out? Help me. Help me. If you want a friend, you show yourself friendly. My one daughter, she said, my daddy not afraid of nothing. Well, I'm not. If the Lord has me die on a street down here in Bowling Green, Kentucky, or in Salamanca, New York, or whether I go to another, I don't really care. If I fall out right now, you don't have to worry about giving me mouth to mouth or wondering all them onions I ate down there. Don't worry about it. You can let me go. I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he'll stand upon the earth in the latter day. What are you afraid of? Don't fear what man can do. You fear what God's going to do to a lost and dying world. Fear God. The Bible says the whole duty of man to fear God and obey his commandments. That's what your duty is. It's the whole duty of man. So it says, but yeah, you know, Brother Tom, he said, we want you to come to Africa. I can't hardly get out of Southeastern Ohio. Okay? I got burdens here. Maybe one day. I can't get away from America. Remember, God bless America, land that I love. I told some of the natives up there, you remember that little guy, that Indian years ago? I don't know why I remember all that kind of stuff, but the native was down there and had a tear in his eye with the trash coming up. And I'm down at the edge of the lake. See, my heart hurts for the people here. I see them every day. You know, the Bible says the eyes are the windows of the soul. I look in their eyes every day. People say, what are you looking so hard at me for? I study them. The eyes. They're the windows to the soul. We have to be careful what we put through our eye gates and our ear gates, don't we? That's why those guys that the Amish people to do that ideology, that's how they look in your eye and they'll know everything about you. You can go down and get a CAT scan and that old boy down in Heston, Kentucky can tell you the same thing. Same thing. And that's why your ear, down on your ear right here, looks like a baby's womb. You know why? Be careful what you put through your ear gates. It might birth. I'm telling you. God's real. He knows everything about us and loves us anyway. You know that? He does. But when you serve the Lord, I think about there in Deuteronomy 6 and 4. I might not even go this way. I'm going to show you something. People said, one of my kids one time, you know, they said, Dad, we're supposed to talk about the Lord all the time, aren't we? Finally, after several years, you know what it says in Deuteronomy 6 and 4 right here? Some of my favorite scripture. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Remember, he said it would come a time when he'd write it on your heart and write it on your mind. Remember that earnest spirit. That's what changes the man. Okay? It gives him something to go by. And it says, And thou shalt teach them what? Diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou settest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way. And when thou liest down. And when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Remember I told you can't even get these boys to put a magnet on their car. They ain't going to bind nothing. They ain't worried about nobody. What the old saying, speak with a forked tongue. The Bible says your hearts are far from me sometimes. People say one thing but do another. Actions speak louder than words. Bible says faith without works is dead. It says thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. You know, I told him a while back, there was a guy, he calls himself Philip the Evangelist or something. That's a big word. And I'm not a very good reader. But what happened is he has a place called God's Ten Commandment Park. And do you realize if you had a billboard out in your parking lot and it was like 40 by 50, he'll give you a sign that says, Jesus heals the brokenhearted. And what the scripture is? All you got to do is put it up. I called all of our preachers and all these people. Not one person responded. Not one of our preachers. Nobody called. I left messages with them. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with Jesus heals the brokenhearted? What's wrong with Jesus died to save sinners? What's wrong with it's impossible to please God without faith? You know how many conversations got started when I got on that old pickup truck? You know how many conversations I've got started in truck stops and around the country? Because I just had the Word of God on the side of my vehicle. It speaks for itself, doesn't it? There's power in the name of Jesus. That's why people don't want to talk about Jesus. You can talk about God. You can talk about the Spirit. People don't want to talk about Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved but that of Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Him. He's the stone of rebellious rejected, become the head of the corner. Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Remember, Emmanuel, God with us. He's the one. But yeah, one day one of my daughters says, "Hey, Dad, we're supposed to talk about God all the time, aren't we?" You got it. You get it. That's where it comes from. That's where that joy comes from. Remember when they came back and they were rebuilding the temple in the days of Ezra, Nehemiah and them, I think, them boys? What did the devil do? He sent in trained specialists. You know why? Because when God's people get in one heart, one mind, one body, and one accord, it'll be just like the days in the Tower of Babel. Nothing's impossible for them. You take that little, I've been given, it's summertime, it's hay mowing season. I'm not a hay mower, I'm not a farmer, I'm not much anything. But I do love the Lord. But here's the deal. I was thinking, you know, I've seen them little sickles. Them boys up home, they take a little sickle and they start mowing hay. They're out there by themselves. That's what happens when you got a church that ain't right. But when you get a church that gets in one heart, one mind, one body, and one accord, it's like a combine. You can start moving things. But people got to get together. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's a lot of prideful people, man. Everybody thinks everything's okay in their life. There's not. I talked to Brother Jerry years ago. He said, out in Missouri out there, he said, you preach a sermon, hard toward service to the Lord, and that evening they'd come back and the altar would be full of people crying out to God for the way they're living. Everybody's okay today, just ask them. You don't see none of our people crying out on the altars. Am I right? You don't see it. It's a thing of the past. Wondering why we're going to hell in a handbasket. I'm pretty serious. You say you sound like it, I am. Pretty serious about what I say and what I do. I try to walk the walk. What our old boy said, if you ain't walking that walk, then talking that talk won't do. People watch us like a hawk. I hope they can see Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what I'm hoping and praying for. Because that's what they need to see. I need to go back here and read a couple scriptures. Kind of scattered, but you know, I just try to follow the Lord. You know, I was thinking about, I wish I could preach those sermons. And I mean, I really do. Like Brother Bill, I admire people like you guys. I heard you preach that. That was good. I can't do that. Because, you know, I got problems. You know, I could have been the president. Something happened. Something happened in my life. I got sidetracked. But I appreciate people like you that can. I appreciate what you do in teaching God's people. But I'll stir them up if they'll let me. I'll stir them up. It's my job. But I appreciate those guys that I've learned a lot from people. And I do appreciate them. I wish I could do better. I wish I could be better in my weak and feeble efforts that might touch people's hearts. But see, I know why Jeremiah, they call him a weeping prophet. He wept over a nation, didn't he? Boy, I do too. It's real. It's a real thing. I had a brother tell me one time, he said, I appreciate your spirit or something. I said, buddy, you wouldn't want to be me. You what? I'm thankful for the joy that God gives me, but I'll tell you one thing. Sometimes it's burdensome, but I'm thankful for the burdens. Keeps you humble. It will. You know, kind of like that song. I need to try to sing that song. This one's mine, I'll hear him say, on that great and final day, when I bow at Jesus' feet, Knowing all is now complete, dressed in robes of purest white, with my Savior I'll abide. This one's mine. I'll hear him say on that great and final day, not good deeds that I have done, by the blood of God's own Son, saved and pardoned, ransomed me, by God's grace I now am free. Oh, what peace that floods my soul, just to know he's in control. This one's mine, I'll hear him say, on that grave. Just to know my name's recorded yonder in the book of life, to have peace with Christ my Savior, no more sorrow, no more strife. When I feast at God's grand table, Christ will be the centerpiece, with his glory all around me. Oh, his love will never cease. This one's mine, I'll hear him say, on that great and final day, when I bow at Jesus' feet, knowing all now complete, dressed in robes of purest white, with my Savior I'll abide. This one's mine, hear him say, oh, that great fine. See, I owe this man Jesus everything. No, he's everything to me. He really is everything to me. Do you believe that? He's everything to me tonight. I'm so thankful he had mercy upon me. I'm thankful. 23 years later, I'm just as thankful as what I was on May 6, 2001 at Celebration Center in Belpre High. I tell you, if a man's really been saved, he should have a heart full of gratitude. If you've been called to preach, I tell you, you should know it. And it should be evident. Didn't make it very far in Romans, I guess. Told you. But see, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That's what God requires. A broken heart, a contrite spirit. You know you have to let the same God that made you remake you every day. Did you know that? That's how this works. The same God that made you, that brought you out of darkness into his glorious light, you have to let him remake you every day. That's where it works. It doesn't take man very long, and it doesn't take the devil very long to destroy what it takes God years to build up. Did you know that? Only takes a second. And next thing you know, a little bit of envy, a little bit of strife, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. The Bible says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not big things that go like you're out sitting on a bar stool or running, cheating on your wife or husband like that. Just little things. He's real crafty. He knows how to do it, don't he? Bible says he's a liar and a father of him. He's an accuser of the brethren. I think about that sometime. You know, I had years ago a guy, I'm not mentioning any names, I should, but I won't. And a lot of people accused that brother of some things, and I don't know what he did, but I didn't accuse him of nothing. But that guy said, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors. I don't know what goes on behind your closed doors. You don't know what goes on behind my closed doors, but God does. You see, it's easy for people. You know, man always wants to say something bad about somebody else to make them feel better. Did you know that? God says what's done in dark will be brought to the light. It'll all be brought to the light one day. What everybody's done, what they're doing. But it says, but ye shall be not so, but that is greatest among you let him be the younger, and he that is chief, as he does serve. You know, I think about that. You know, when I said earlier, the Lord, talking about the body of Christ, you know, the Lord came not in this world to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We should want the best for our brothers and sisters. I mean, really the best. I do. I told little Juanita up there, you know, she come from a thing and she's having trouble sleeping. I said, let me lay my hands on you. I'm going to pray tonight for you. And I did. And she got her first good night of sleep she got in a long time. Isn't that something? God can do that. God showed that little girl that, hey, you come to me. You come to me. Let her sleep like a baby. Have trouble sleeping. Can't go to sleep. Stay up for days. You know, like manic people. And but God's able to do that. By your faith be it unto you. God's able to increase your faith and do things for you to help other people get through. See, the things you go through in life, as we said earlier, they set in order. It's hard for mankind to understand sometimes, oh, woe's me. Why am I going through this? And the devil say, you're the only one's ever been through that, boy. Lord ain't really with you. Huh? But when you look at it as a stepping stone, God lets you go through things to help other people get through. I've been through a lot of things. A lot of things. Hopefully there'll be a lot more. Because when things ain't going crazy around me, I start wondering for how close I am to the Lord. Now you think I'm kidding. I'm not. I've had nothing but chaos for 23 years. Kind of get used to it after a while. What's normal? Well, normal is what the Word of God says. That's God's normal. But it all depends on what area you come from. Brother Billy, he's a little older than us. He come from a more normal biblical standpoint than I did. Probably came from a better family than I did. People knowing the Lord. I didn't know nothing about that. My daddy got saved. Prayed I'd be a preacher one day. But growing up in my house, we didn't talk about the Lord. You don't talk about the Lord. He's like Elvis. He ain't coming back. Did you know that? So thank God he had mercy upon me. See, he looked down. He sits way up high, looking way down low. The Bible says the Lord's eyes roam to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts are fully committed to him. When you get fully committed to God, God sees you. And guess what? You'll feel him. He'll see you, and you'll feel him in here. You know, it's a wonderful fringe benefit. I don't serve the Lord for that. But remember Lionel Richie wrote that song, oh, what a feeling when you dance on the ceiling. The Lord will make you want to dance around. It might not be on the ceiling, but he'll put a stride in your step. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? The Lord will loosen you up. That's when one of the girls up there got said, she said, I feel so loose now. Them chains that was binding her come off in the name of Jesus. She was free. See, Jesus came to set the captive free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. I tell folks, do you know, if you can't stand and testify in the house of God for the Lord, chances are you're not telling anybody else about it much. You believe that? If you can't feel freedom here, chances are you ain't doing a whole lot for the Lord. I'm just saying. You should feel free as a bird in here. This is where we come together. This is where God's people meet. This is where there's liberty, there's freedom. We're bearing one another's burdens. And so, you ever think about that scripture? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill. It says fulfill the law of Christ, didn't it? Fulfill it. Get down here and cry out to me. Fulfill. Bear your brother's burden. Get serious about it. When your brother hurts, you should hurt. I remember one time I called a place and I said, man, I'm trying to make a CD. Could you help me? They talked to me like I was a fool. $8,600 later, become my greatest witness tool. The thing I fought the most. Because I didn't think, why do I sing? I don't know. It's my friend. Like Bonnie and Clyde. Like Butch and Sundance. Became our greatest witnessing tool. And I fought it so much that I lost a job. So what's the moral of the story? Whatever God's telling you to do, do it. There was a young boy up there that come through the tent meeting. His name was Brandon. I've still been praying for him and Ryan and some some of them up there, but a lot of people on drugs and alcohol come through, and he was a Catholic, and the church and the local Catholic church up there took his daddy's land. Thieves, robbers, thieves. You know, and he couldn't pray. He was crying like a baby, but he couldn't pray. He wouldn't pray. So hard against God. I mean, his heart, he was like, I want to be saved. I want to be. I said, you got to pray. He's crying like a baby. Wife died, got kids. Because somebody done him wrong. Right? Somebody done him wrong. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. I was telling somebody about that the other day. You know what? You know what I believe the Catholic Church, other than it was God's divine plan, he let things raise up that way. You know, there's a bit of relief. If I come to you and I say, man, I'm doing this, there's a bit of relief in going and tell a man something. That's what the Catholic Church is all about. They come in and tell the Pope or somebody something. They get a bit of relief. There's no forgiveness of sins, but it makes them feel better, like they've done something. So there's a bit of relief in that, right? So when they did that, but wait a minute, you murdered some? That's 500, bro. You done killed somebody. Oh, I just stole a watermelon off the cart. I was hungry. It's only 50 for me. That's why all that stuff happened. See, there's a bit of relief in that stuff, of telling people stuff. I mean, there's other reasons. But so when we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, if we really get serious, we'll see God move. I was praying one time. I seen it change my grandma. And I'm not trying to say anything funny tonight, but I remember my grandma, she was dying. She was old, about 94. And I'll be honest, at times I said, man, after I got saved, I said, is this an old woman saved? She was not very nice, for real. And she was up at Mary Memorial Hospital, and I went up after work one night. She had shingles all over. She was hurting. The Lord said, pray for her, for those shingles. And I watched them dry up. And it changed her. For the rest of her life, she was pleasant. God did that. It wasn't me. I just obeyed God. You say, well, I don't believe stuff like that still happens. Oh, yeah, it does. Just like people say there's no such thing as demons. Oh, yeah, there is. A lot of people got them. I deal with them. They're there. They're real. Where'd they go, Brother Casey? They're still here. They're still in people. That's why the guy comes at me, growl, knocks my finger. What do you think that was? Think people are just that nuts? They're not. They're controlled by evil. That's why the Bible says, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. But you know why the devil doesn't manifest himself over here like he does overseas, Brother Don? Do you know why? You know why he does that? He's already got people captivated with them right here. He doesn't have to manifest himself too much over here. People's already captivated. They're playing that video game. They're in that phone right there. He doesn't have to manifest himself like he does in other countries. You ever think about that? It's truth. It's the way it works. He doesn't have to manifest himself that way. He's already got the Americans captivated with entertainment. We're captivated. He's got an audience, doesn't he? Right there. Boom, boom, boom. Set your kid in front of that TV, man. Go out and do your dishes, do the laundry. Just put that kid in front of that TV and that video game and let him go to work. Huh? It's crazy. But anyway, that's another story. A couple more scriptures and I'll be done. I didn't get too far in Romans, but I felt like I was supposed to read these. And it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So, you know, it's not, it's kind of like when he sent out the 70, I think it was, and remember they came back and they said, Lord, even the demons are in subjection to us. Don't worry about that, guys. Be thankful because your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? That's what you need to be thankful about. Be thankful that God seemed fit to save our wretched souls. Because the Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Actually, you didn't have a nickel in the dime. God drawled you and convicted you, whether you heard about it from a little child or whether you didn't. He took you to that straight gate, and it was the faith of Christ that took you through it. You couldn't have got through there by yourself. You know that? That's true. That's what the Word teaches. That's why it says salvation belongs to God. It's his and his alone. So we owe him everything. And when he says, this one's mine, I'll hear him say, it's all because of Jesus, the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. You owe him everything, whether you're acting like it, whether you're not. We owe him everything. The Bible says in one spot, 1 Corinthians says, some will build with hay, wood, and stubble. Some will build with gold, silver, and precious stone, right? Some will make it in as of by fire. They'll make it because they've been saved, because God had mercy upon them. Not a lot of works in the world. I learned it years ago. I was having a tent revival in Brother Jack and Sister Glenda's yard there in Lafayette. This is when I first realized this. We were in the tent revival, and a guy says, pray for such and such. Of course, I didn't know the people, so I said, who's that? Well, that's my uncle. He's a preacher. He ain't been serving the Lord for years. It's like, shoot, sorry about that. You know, I'll surely pray for that. Somebody else says, pray for such and such. Well, who's that? Oh, that's my neighbor. He got saved when he's a kid. He ain't been serving the Lord. I started realizing, maybe that's why there are all these tornadoes and stuff come through here. A whole lot of God's people down here ain't serving the Lord. Maybe God's trying to wake people up. You ever think about that? Kind of amazing, isn't it? The place where all his people are, many of his people, but nobody's serving him. Isn't that crazy? God chastises his own. Righteousness exalteth the nation. Judgment comes to the house of the Lord. God's not pleased. He's not. That's what I told people. I remember one time I went to a church years ago. It was about this many people, 15, 20. And the next thing you know, that church filled up. It's like, wow. So in the sermon, the Lord had me incorporate. I said, I guess all you people are really learned in the scriptures. You didn't need to come to Sunday school. I love Sunday school, don't you? I love to learn about the Lord. I love to hear what other people say about it. Iron sharpeneth iron, man sharpeneth friends countless. But yet they don't have time for that. I don't get it. Do you? You get it, brother? I don't get it. Things like these confuse me. I'm just a dumb old country boy from Southeastern Ohio, but it confuses me. Like, what are people thinking? It's thinking. That's what it is, thinking. People justify themselves in their own mind. But it says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the older. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. Well, that's what he does. Remember on that one spot, the publican, I think, and the Pharisee, he said, man, I'm glad I'm not like Brother Phil. I'm glad I'm not like Brother Casey. I got it all together, bro. Just ask me, I'll tell you. Right? That's what he's saying, wasn't he? But remember, that old boy was in the back there. He couldn't even look up. All he could do was smote his breast. And forgive me, a sinner. If we can stay in that state, God will use you. He really will. Now, Jesus said, no one can come to me. Unless the Father who sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up on the last day. The Bible says the Lord's nigh to them that be of a broken heart. Save such that be of a contrite spirit. You gotta be broke. You gotta realize you're lost before you can be found. You gotta realize you're broke before you can be fixed. You gotta realize, I tell a little kid sometimes, I say, I'm big, you're little, I'm right, you're wrong. That's what God's trying to tell us. I'm big, you're little. I'm right, you're wrong. The Bible says, let God be truth, and all men be a liar. So I don't know what we're going to do with this situation, but we got a lot of work to do. God's people really does have a lot of work to do. And the Bible says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Continually ask, seek, and knock till you get what you need. And the Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. Those that come to God first must believe that he is and reward of those that diligently seek him. And, remember, faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God wants you to leap out in faith, and he'll give you the understanding. Man wants to have an understanding about something, he can have faith in it. Man always wanting to control something. You ever notice from, I found a church out in Great Valley, I think it was. Most spiritual church I found in Salamanca all around. I went out there the other day, they let me sing, and I got up there in tears, got to fly, and started preaching. The guy said, hey, come back. Most of them, they shut you down. Well, most of them, I wouldn't have got up there to begin with. Everything was so controlled. Like we're robots. You come into the house. See, it's not my service. It's not Brother Casey's service. It's not his brother's service, Brother Don, whoever. It's the Lord's service. You should be praying for the service. Hopefully you prayed for me. I felt a lot of prayers today. I had a good time, kept coming down, and I feel good right now still. But should be praying for your service and asking the Lord, Lord, what could I do in service to you to encourage my brothers and sisters? It may be a thing. You might not have to stand and testify. It might be a sister or brother that he puts on your heart that you go to and just say, man, I love you. I've been praying for you. I just want to let you know that. Because God will lead you that way. He'll do that. He's a big God. And he loves everybody. It's called an agape love. I think about that all the time. That's why I tell people I'm his favorite one right behind you. I really don't know how he does that. I don't try to be funny. I preach things that are real to me. I'm real. And that's real to me. When I say I'm his favorite one right behind you, I've had as much trouble as anybody, I guess. A lot more than some, a lot less than others. But I mean that. Because that's the way he makes me feel. Very special. Sometimes in life, I wasn't accepted very much. But I tell you one thing. Tonight, Brother Casey, I'm accepted in the blood. And I know that to be true. I don't know how pleased he is with me most of the time, but I know I'm his. I don't feel like that red-headed stepchild anymore. Most of the time, I feel like an only child. And I thought about that. You know, I got a daddy, a father. It's more than a daddy. Everybody down here is a daddy. We got a father. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. I got a father and an elder brother on the same day. I was telling him a while back, my friend Pugsley, we called him Knuckles. When I was a kid, you know, we grew up pretty rough, and they'd hold us down. And Knuckles had them big old knuckles. He's about 3 or 4 years older than me. I love him today. He's a big old man. I said, Pugs, I said, if I could whoop this into you, I'd train like an MMA fighter and beat the snot out of you next time I see you. He's a big guy. But I can't. It's free. But he would beat on my chest till I would cry in Little Phil. Him and his brother, or him and his Gerald, Little Phil's brother, and Mike Singer, they was all way older, 2 or 3 years. Mike was way older. They'd make us cry. But when Little Phil got that pump-up pellet gun, when he had all he could take and he started pumping that baby up, she shot about like a 22. You ought to see him scatter. But I always wanted a big brother. I thought, I wish I had somebody to help me because I didn't have anybody I could go to at home and tell, like, hey, Daddy, but somebody's done this. I didn't have all that. I just had to go out and cry somewhere. You understand? Didn't have all that. Oh, come here, son. So I just dealt with whatever I dealt with. See? So I got this father in heaven and this elder brother on the same day. May 6, 2001, Celebration Center. Because remember, the Bible says we're heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe the scripture. So I got someone that helps me in all things big and small. He watches over me and everything. I got a car coming down the road and I'll quit. I had to rent this car because they pushed the revival back and everybody had to take their vacations and all that kind of stuff. So they pushed revival back and I thought, boy, I need to go somewhere and I need to stay busy. You know, I don't have a job anymore. Well, I have a job and I work pretty diligently at it, but the rewards are out of this world. I have a retirement plan out of this world, but down here it doesn't pay a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? And I thought, wow, I'm going to have to do something. So I rented this car because by the time I rent the car and pay for the gas and I had to do a lot of driving, it pays to rent this car. But wait a minute, these new cars, no more can the rumble strips wait. I like those rumble strips, brother. When I'm about to fall asleep, about 3 in the morning, that's a good wake-up call. I really like those. I've used them many times. And you think I'm kidding? I'm not. And I like those. But this thing, as soon as you get to the white line, it's turning your back over. A car clean up there at the door up there, I don't know how to shut it off. I'm mad at it. Way up there, it's wanting to break your car. So wait a minute, man. I got to take my foot off and get to pushing down. I get gout in my feet sometimes. You know, I don't want to fool with all that. I want my pickup truck back. Safety first, right? Safety first, that's what we got today. They couldn't give me one of them. They can have them. But if you're here tonight and lost, it's a good time to pray. It's a good place to pray. If you're here today or tonight and you haven't felt the presence of the Lord the way you need to, remember how you got down, you snotting and crying, begging God? If you ain't been doing that lately, give it a try. If you ain't got a burden for something, I hope you get a burden for me and my kids, my family. I tell people, if you need practice, I can surely use the prayer. I need lots of it, really. Because when you realize what you really are, not much. God's so holy and righteous and just. I have people tell me all the time, don't talk about yourself that way. Am I lying? Brother Casey, am I lying when I say that? No, I'm not. I'm not. I know me. I don't really know you. You don't really know me, but I know me. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. Not much good about me. But there's one inside me that's good. His name's Jesus. And, you know, I, every once in a while, for moments in time, he lets Christ in me, the hope of glory, shine through. People were able to see that and feel that. I thank him for that. Not all I should be most times. But anyway, I guess we need to get a song. And I thank you for your time, and I hope and pray that it didn't sound too rough. It really does bother me sometimes. I preach pretty hard. Not something I want to do. Hope you understand. Just something that comes. Anyway, love you. Thanks for your prayers.